Okay, so I said last week that I was going to take a break from Colossians because you remember I had the preaching this other church and I started them in Jonah. And and I came here and I preached the first message I preached there in Jonah. So the message that I preached for them today in Jonah, you're going to get here today in Jonah, okay? Because, amen, there's only so much time in a given week. But I believe there's let me just share what I was sharing with them. The book of Jonah, when you look at it as a whole, we understand there's a disobedient prophet. There's a prophet who's not where he ought to be. We understand that. But when you look at it as a whole, what you see in the book of Jonah is God teaching about his mercies. He's teaching about his mercies. And I say that because at the end of Jonah, at the book of Jonah, God says to Jonah, he says, you were concerned about a plant that you did not grow. You have to understand that God had the plant grow up over, then he prepared a worm to eat the plant. And then, you know, once the plant was gone, God brought in an east wind to blow upon Jonah's sweaty head and to really, you know. And God came to him, and Jonah's so upset, he says, I want to die. You know, I thought, Jonah sounds like an American. He just, all he cared about was himself. He just was, you know, I want this plant. I want to sit cool. I want you to destroy these people, first of all, okay? I'm waiting. He popped himself some popcorn, went up on the hill and said, I'm going to watch this flick. And God didn't do what he wanted him to do. And so Jonah said, there's no point in me living. I just want to die. And God says, you had mercy. You were concerned about a plant that you didn't grow. And he says, here these people are in Nineveh. They don't know. They can't discern between the left hand and the right. He says, shouldn't I have mercy on them? When Jonah wasn't willing to have mercy. Okay, so God, when he told Jonah to, Jonah 1:1, the word of the Lord came to Jonah. When the word of the Lord came to him, it was because God wanted him to go to preach to Nineveh so that God could have mercy on the Ninevites. Whenever God sends his word to someone, it's because he wants to have mercy on them. Respond, obey the word so that you can receive mercy. Blessings of obedience, so forth. Jonah didn't want God to have mercy on the Ninevites. But God wanted to have mercy on the Ninevites. So what does God do? God takes his prophet through a series of events to show the prophet his mercies. The prophet loved the mercies when they were coming to him. But he didn't want the mercies of God going to the Ninevites. Hello. The Bible says that mercy rejoices against judgment. And that, so where Jeremiah was the weeping prophet, Jeremiah was the prophet that when the word of judgment came for any people, particularly Israel, when the word of judgment came for Israel, Jeremiah would cry before the Lord in intercession, in tears, so that they might turn to avoid judgment and receive God's mercies. Jonah was not a weeping prophet. Jonah received the word of the Lord for the Ninevites and said, let them burn. Let them burn. Okay? So this book, when you look at it as a whole, God is teaching about his mercies. About his mercies. You have to keep that in mind. So I want to remember last week, Jonah 1 and 2, where the scripture says 1:1-2. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. And there's some more I could go into there, but I won't. I'll go to verse 3, where we read, but Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now, this is it's interesting here because Jonah, I said this last week, Jonah thought that if he left his home, that he could escape the word of the Lord. So he leaves his house and he goes down to Joppa because he got it in his mind. I'm going to run away from this prophetic word. I'm going to listen to what it says. He says, He went to flee from the presence of the Lord. Now, remember what David said in Psalm 139? Whither shall I flee from your presence? He says, if I take the wings of the morning and fly, he says, where shall I go? If I make my bed in hell, he says, where shall I go? Well, apparently, this was a different presence in the life of Jonah, okay? So he fled from the face of the Lord, or standing before the Lord. The word of the Lord that came to Jonah seems to have been equal to the presence of the Lord. Because in verse 1 it says that the word of the Lord came to Jonah, right? We have the word of the Lord coming. Verse 3 says, Jonah flees from the presence of the Lord. Now, the word presence in the Hebrew means the face. So when the scripture says Jonah fled from the presence of the Lord, he was fleeing from the face of God presented to him. The face of God is where the word of the Lord came from. The word of the Lord that came to Jonah came from the face of the Lord. And so Jonah is fleeing from the face of God, revealed will in his face. And verse 3 mentions the presence of the Lord twice, that he fled from the presence of the Lord. Mentions it 2 times because God made his will clear to Jonah. Apparently, the presence of the Lord or the word of the Lord would not leave Jonah alone, so he ran from it. My, my. Interesting that Jonah, in verse 3, says he found this ship, paid a fare, went down into it to go to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. As far as we know, according to scripture, Jonah is the only one on that ship who was running from God. He was literally running from God. That was the word of the Lord, by the way. When we walked into this church in 1983, I got saved in September 1983, September 4th, 1983, October of 1983, we walked into this church, and the pastor prophet who was playing the piano said to my mother, do you know, he said, where's your husband? She didn't even get the answer. He said, he's dead, isn't he? She says, yes. He said, do you know he was running from God? When I read this, I thought, man. Because Jonah was running from God, and my dad was running from God, and he pushed past my mother, put his hand on my head, and said, and what I called your husband to do, I now call your son to do. You talk about a prophetic word. You talk about impact. Never met this man before in our lives, but the prophetic word came. And so, like I said last week, perhaps Jonah thought God would use another prophet to carry out his word. God had no intention of using another prophet. Why? Because God wanted to teach Jonah about his mercies. He wanted to teach Jonah about his mercies. The motivation for Jonah's fleeing seems to have been the fact that in the past, Assyria, God had used Assyria to judge Israel. And Assyria had attacked Israel in the past and many other nations. But also in the future, prophetic words had come that God would use them to bring judgment upon Israel. And so Jonah wasn't feeling good about any of this prophetic word to go to the Ninevites and preach to them. And when we get further down, which we probably won't, because next week I'll be back to Colossians, we'll see. I mean, finish Jonah and then go back to Colossians. We'll see. But you remember he walked through the city 3 days journey for saying 40 days, Nineveh will be destroyed unless they repent. And of course they all repented. But the reason why Jonah didn't like these people because they abused Israel. Come on, they were enemies of Israel. But the reason why he didn't want to preach to them was because Jonah 4:2 says, Jonah told God, I knew that you would forgive them. Come on. He said, I knew you are a merciful God. And that's why I didn't want to go preach to them. Because if they repent, you're going to forgive them. And Jonah wants to see them burn. Jonah wants to see a Hawaii effect. You know, he wants to see lava spewed all over the place. Fine brimstone falling from heaven. Yeah, that's what he wanted, right? And he says, I know you were a merciful God. And so we see that term, the mercy, comes up over and over and over again. God is long suffering with us. And so, as I said last week, God told Jonah to go to Nineveh, which was 550 miles from Joppa. So he goes to Joppa, and Nineveh is northeast, 550 miles to the northeast of Joppa, where he gets the ship. He gets finds this ship. But he gets in a ship, and he's going to Tarshish, which is 2,500 miles in the other direction. And if I ever saw someone who didn't want to do what God told him to do, it was Jonah. This brother making me think he's out of his mind. Are you crazy? God told you to go to Nineveh, and you're going to go get in a ship and go 2,500 miles in the other direction? My goodness, it made me feel a little bit good about my disobedience. But no, No, actually, that's me and Jonah. Amen. We're preaching to the choir here. It always comes here first. Amen. And so it was as if Jonah was going as far as he could from Nineveh and the will of God. But here's the problem. Disobeying God will cost you. Disobeying God will cost you plenty. Hello? And, with Jonah, it's just getting started. Okay, well, first of all, the scripture says that he paid the fare. In other words, Jonah had to pay in order to go his way. Let me say it again. Jonah had to pay to go his way. And there's a lot of people paying today to go their way. A lot of people paying, all right? And they're paying a hefty price. Whereas when God sends you, the ride is free. You ain't thinking what I'm thinking. I said, when God sends you, see, Jonah chose his way and had to pay, but God had a free ride waiting for him in a submarine. And Jonah didn't have to pay a dime. It's free. Why? Because where God guides, he provides. And so when you go your own way, you're going to have to pay. But when you go God's way, the ride is free. So it brings me back to this. I said this last week. Sin will take you farther than you want to go. Sin will keep you longer than you want to stay. And it'll charge you more than you want to pay. Remember that. Sin will take you farther than you want to go. I didn't mean for him to die. I didn't mean that. It'll keep you longer than you want to stay and charge you more than you want to pay. And I'm forever saying to the Lord, because I know me. Do you know you? You know you? Can you know you? So when you're talkative like me, you know, when you have a mouth, you're constantly praying, Lord, please put a watch over my... Anybody ever pray that? Put a watch over my mouth. I'm just going to say a name, Roseanne Barr. See, put a watch. But the Bible says out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth, see, the problem really isn't the mouth, it's the heart. Because, listen, what's in your heart, you cannot hide. It's coming out, all right? And so we have to pray, God, get a hold of... But what is it? The reference, blah, 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 Proverbs. Out of the heart, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. Keep your heart with all diligence. But not just her. How many people could we just name, click, 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 who opened their mouth and destroyed their future? Just open their, one word and destroy their future. Be careful, because we're made in the image of God. And when he speaks, he creates things. And when we speak, we create things. Except for everything he creates, he looked at it and said, it's good, it's very good. When we create things, oh, goodness. Oh, my goodness. God help us. So I'm constantly praying, Lord, please keep a watch over my mouth. I know I'm a preacher of the gospel, and I'm supposed to bring forth what is good, but I'm also human. which means I can bring forth something that's not good. Amen. All right. So Jonah paid the fare. Jonah used his means to get where he wanted to go. He used his means to get where he wanted to go. And so when I turn on TV, everywhere you look, you see people using their own means to get where they want to go. Here's the problem. Where they want to go is not where they ought to be going. Jonah didn't know, but he didn't want to go that way. He paid the fare, went down into the ship, right? But that was not where he wanted to go. And the Lord will show him shortly that the means that he has to get him where God wanted him to go. And why was all this happening? Because God wanted to show Jonah, teach him about his mercies. He wanted to teach Jonah. Why would God be so, not lenient, but long-suffering with Jonah, other than to teach this wayward prophet, this prophet who is selfish, is what he is. I mean, he's just selfish. God is merciful and long-suffering to teach him about his mercies, to teach him his ways. And so, verse 4 says, but the Lord sent out a great wind. The Lord sent out a great wind, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. Now, Jonah's attempt to run is quite feeble, considering that the Lord owns everything. He thought he could run from the presence of God. Before the times that God did something here for Jonah, the scripture says God prepared. Here it doesn't say God prepared. It says the Lord sent out a great wind. But make no mistake, God had preparations for Jonah because he wanted Jonah to know about his mercies. And the same God who taught Jonah about his mercies is the same God who teaches you and I about his mercies. But in order for that to happen, Jonah had to encounter a great wind. How many in your lifetime, a time or two, have felt yourself walking against the wind? You know that Chicago wind, you leaning forward like this, trying to walk into it, and it's blowing you back. Well, Jonah was trying to go to Tarshish, but the wind was contrary. Why? Because God was at work. And not only with Jonah, we'll remember, I thought about Carrie, and it's interesting, she's here today, she was whenever it was the last time on a Tuesday evening, I was teaching, I believe, in the book of Exodus, and I was talking about the east wind. And Carrie said, Pastor, we have an east wind in Namibia. And when it blows, it dries out everything. It's crazy, right? Really hot. Okay? So, and she stood up and shared that day about the east wind. Well, here the Lord is sending out a wind. You'll remember when, and during Noah's flood, after the rain, for the waters to recede off the earth, the Bible says that the Lord caused a wind to blow over the earth, and the waters receded, right? We remember Moses in Egypt. When the locusts came, an east wind brought the locusts in. And when Pharaoh said, please entreat the Lord for me, Moses prayed, and a west wind took the locusts out. We also remember in the wilderness with Moses and the children of Israel that the Lord used a wind to bring quail in and fall into the camp of the Israelites so that they could have meat to eat. So he provided for them that way. And so all of those winds, we see them for corrective purposes and other purposes. But in Jonah's life, this wind is for a corrective purpose. This wind has come into his life. There are many different reasons why winds blow in one's life. But in Jonah's life, the wind was blowing at him in order to correct him. It was a corrective wind, right? And you have to, sometimes you have to discern what wind is blowing against me. What wind? Psalm 107:25 says this, for he commands and raises the stormy wind. He commands and raises the stormy wind, which lifts up the waves of the sea. That's exactly what is happening in Jonah chapter 1. God was causing this wind to blow to bring correction to the prophet Jonah. Now, I said this a few weeks ago. May 3rd, just last month, the Palestinians in Gaza had these days of rage at the Israeli border. And the New York Times reports that they had created these kites and tied rags to them, doused them in gasoline, set them on fire, and they flew the kites over the border into the wheat fields of the Israelis on the other side, burned up nearly 400 acres of wheat, which cost almost $500 million that they lost because the Palestinians burned up their wheat. You remember, by the way, that when Joab wanted to talk to the king, I think it was Joab. It happened with Samson as well, but Joab wanted to talk to the king. Samson tied two foxes tail to tail and set a torch in the midst, and they went and ran through the wheat fields in the book of Judges and burnt up the people's crops. That would start a war. That would start a war. Well, the Gazans were doing the same thing, except for on this Friday, they said, we're going to put up 400 kites and fly them all across at the same time and burn up everything across the border. Except for that day, when they went and they got their kites and they sent them up like that, the wind from Israel's side blew the kites back over to the Gazan side, right? And the New York Times says the direction of the wind not only thwarted the kites, but also blew copious amounts of Israeli tear gas toward the protesters up to 700 yards from the fence, chasing many away. The smoke from the burning tires also blew west, leaving those near the fence without cover. And so the wind blew at the right time to thwart the plan to burn up Israel. And so he has this wind blowing. The Lord sends out this wind, and he has this mighty tempest on the sea. And the next phrase says, so that the ship was about to be broken up. Remember the ship that Jonah went and got on? He paid his fare, went down into the bottom of the ship. What do we learn from this? This is what we learn. When we disobey God, what we're trusting in will be subject to being broken up. Jonah was trusting that ship to get him to where he wanted to go. But when you disobey God, what you trusting in, God says, I'm going to break it up. I'm going to break it up. So God sends this wind, and the ship is being tossed about in the waves, and the ship's about to be broken up. You ever had something broken up? Solomon had it happen. Solomon was going after gold and silver in 1 Kings, I believe it was. And he sent ships to Ezion-Geber, and you hear this term, the gold of Ophir. It was a place that they had a lot of gold. Well, they were bringing back the gold, and all the ships got in a storm and were broken up, and they lost the treasure at sea because all Solomon wanted. One of the three advice or commandments to kings was not to multiply silver and gold to yourself. And what did Solomon do? It said he made silver in Israel like stones. It was as plenteous as stones. And he broke all the commandments that God had set for kings. That's another story. Let's leave that alone. Okay. So when we disobey God, what we're trusting in this case, it was the ship for Jonah, will be subject to being broken up. It will not last. Why? Because doing what we want at the exclusion of what God wants does not produce God's eternal purpose. So Jonah finds himself in this situation. Verse 5 goes on and says, then the mariners were afraid, or the sailors. And every man cried out to his God. I found this very interesting because you know how sailors are. They're men's men, if you will. You heard the term, no one can cuss like a sailor, or her mouth was dirtier than a sailor, whatever. These guys are rough, okay? And yet here, the scripture says these men were afraid. These are men who live on the water, okay? They see storms week in, week out. They see all kinds of storms. But this storm had these men biting the nails and going, we're going to call on our God now. There's no sailors. Do you believe God? For real? But they're calling on God, and they began to throw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea. So what we find here is that Jonah's disobedience doesn't only affect him. Now, I'm talking to myself now. I hope y'all learn something, but I'm going to learn something right here. My disobedience does not only affect me. My disobedience affects everybody connected to me. Not only connected to me, but those people that I'm around. So remember, I said earlier that Jonah is the only one running from God in this ship. And now, yet all of these men are doomed to his fate, whatever it may be. They don't know that, but we know it as we're reading the scripture, right? So it reminds me of these sailors who spend their lives on open sea. They are worried. They're really worried because it's so bad. And it reminded me when I took two mission trips to Jamaica in the early 2000s. And my first trip, my wife went with me. And she said, I'm not going back with me because you drive like a maniac. And that was okay. She was right. Went in Rome. Had to do, you know. And but the second trip, I went back and we're on a wide body. We're like on a 747. This thing is huge. It's got five seats in the middle and three on each end. You know, one of those big ones. And so we're coming into Kingston. We flew into Kingston. And I see all these Jamaicans on the plane. And I'm like, okay, we're good. You know, these people, they've been here a lot. They know what is up. And we're coming in and we hit a crosswind and the plane literally dropped like this. And when it dropped, I saw people crossing up. I looked around. Folk were getting nervous, sweating, everything. I said, oh, wait a second. This is bad. These people fly here all the time. And they're crossing up and carrying on. I said, they must be getting ready to go meet their maker. At least they're looking like they are. I said, this is bad. So when these sailors are crying out to God, it tells you this is bad. Right? So bad that what was supposed to make them money was thrown into the sea. What was supposed to make them money was thrown into the sea. You remember this happened on Paul's voyage to Italy to be presented before Caesar. Paul told the men of that day, he said, I see that this voyage is going to be harmful to us. Don't go on this voyage. Don't loose and take this trip. And the captain said, no, we're gonna do it. We got the winds that we want. He's supposing he had the right wind. Back to winds again, and when they loosed from the shore, Euroclydon came, which was a adverse wind, and it, oh my goodness, it was awful. So, but while Paul was on that voyage, they threw the cargo overboard. They threw the wheat into the sea. Why? Because they wanted to save their lives. They wanted to save their lives. What's interesting about these two incidents is that Jonah didn't care for anybody on that ship. Remember where he was. He was down in the hull, asleep. Listen, the sailors are up on top, afraid. They're crying out to their God. They're throwing the wheat over the edge of the boat. Jonah down in the hull. He's down there tearing it up, you know. He's sleeping and snoring and carrying on. And these men up there hollering and screaming and trying not to go down with the ship. Jonah didn't care, but you remember Paul cared for the people that was on his ship. Matter of fact, he said, you shouldn't have loosed from shore. He said, but the Lord stood beside me this night. And he told me, don't fear, Paul, because you have to appear before Caesar. He says, and I've also given you all the souls on the ship. I've given you all the souls on the ship. Meaning, if Paul wasn't on the ship, Paul's obedience brought life. Paul's obedience to God spared life. Jonah's disobedience to God is about to take life. This is why my obedience, our obedience means so much, because people's lives are affected by it, right? So Jonah didn't care. He was fast asleep, not helping to lighten the load of the ship. As they were throwing things overboard, not realizing that he would be the last thing they would throw overboard. Hello. Come on. They're lightening the ship, saying, we got to get rid of all this stuff because we're going to go down. Then they find out, oh, you the one. You got to go. Right? Now, then we remember this. Jonah wasn't the only person asleep in a boat in a storm. Hello. Matthew chapter 8 says Jesus was in a boat, asleep in a boat in a storm. Okay, the difference is, though, Jonah was the reason why the folks was in the storm. Jesus was the answer to them being in the storm. He was the answer, right? And so, since the disciples were in the will of God in the storm, it couldn't harm them. It couldn't harm them.
Why?
Well, they were in the will of God, but they had Jesus in the boat. Remember, they said, "Master, don't you care that we perish?" He wakes up, looks around, says, "Where's your faith? Peace be still." And it's done. When you're in a storm, it's important to know if Jesus is in the boat. When you're in a storm, it's important to know if Jesus is in the boat. Now, we know he wasn't in Jonah's boat. Why? Because the Bible says Jonah fled from the presence of the Lord. Jonah on his own. He's out there. Verse 6. Let's see, where am I? Yeah. Remember, Jonah had gone down into the boat, was lowest parts of the boat, had laid down and was fast asleep. He was doing that sleep of disobedience. You know, that sleep of running from your conscience. You know, he keeps talking to me, so let me go to sleep. See if I can dull that voice, my conscience that keeps telling me, "Jonah, you're wrong. Jonah, you know you." You know, Jonah wasn't the only one who was sleeping the sleep of disobedience. Judges 13 through 16 tells us about another man who went to sleep, and his sleep cost him. Samson. He was also sleeping the sleep of disobedience. And so we find Jonah in the same place. And so verse 6 says, so the captain came to him. You have to get the... I'm sure there's been a movie made, but I haven't seen it. But here Jonah is. All the men are frantically. They're crying and trying to save their lives. Jonah then said, here come the captain of the ship. And he says, what do you mean, sleeper? Oh, you sleepyhead? What is your problem, man? Wake up. Huh? He says, get up. Arise. Call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us so that we may not perish. One commentary said, as the captain's job was to see to the safety of all who was on the ship, it is the job of the prophet to call the people to prayer. Let me say that again. It was the job of the prophet to call the people to prayer. But here you don't have the prophet calling the people to prayer. You got the captain telling the prophet it's time to pray. Come on. It'd be like Hollywood coming to the church and saying, don't you people do that prayer thing? Can't y'all pray and kind of help us in this situation? It'd be like that. The captain coming to the prophet and saying, listen, you need to pray. But listen, Jonah's in no position. He's not in right relationship with God to even call on him for prayer. Why? Because he's fleeing from the presence of the Lord. He's running from God. That's like the Christian who's in the club. Woo! Oh, yeah. And then someone gets shot and they say, hey, can't you pray? And they say, oh, I just got done boogie and I ain't got no. Hello? Hello? Are you out there boogieing and on the club on Saturday night, and then the bullet starts flying, and now all of a sudden you want to get holy and turn, and oh, in the name of who? You boogieing in the name? Whose name you boogieing in? Come on, it doesn't work like that. It does not work like that. Goes on every day, church. Goes on week in and week out. Melody's father, he would crack me up. He was preaching one time, and he says, the reason why I don't go to the club, he said, because the day they come up in there and shoot the whole club up, going to be the day I'm sitting right there in the middle of the floor. He says, that ain't happening. He said, that's why I don't go. I said, I'm with you right there, brother. No, because you know the day, be like Jonah. It's like that wind blowing at you. You know you don't belong there. But you're going to go anyhow. And here come the wind. It's a corrective wind coming to get you strength. And so God used a pagan to call a prophet to prayer. God used a donkey in the book of Numbers to get Balaam straight because Balaam wasn't listening to God. So God had to open up the mouth of a donkey. And Peter said that God opening the mouth of the ass forbade the madness of the prophet. Because the prophet lost his mind. He's gone mad chasing money. Hello. So when God has to use the unsaved to call his people to prayer, you know we've been asleep. You know we've been asleep, just like Jonah. And so Jonah couldn't call on God because he was running from God. He knew that God would not help them, for he was the cause of it all. He wasn't gonna help them right there. Because Jonah couldn't call on him because he wasn't in right relationship with God. So what did Jonah do? Nothing. These people are getting ready to die. And this selfish prophet does absolutely nothing. Jonah was not willing to help save these men's lives immediately by confessing to the truth. So verse 6, listen, he says, "Arise, call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us so that we may not perish." Call on your God so that we may not perish. Reminds me of Romans 10:13, which says, "For whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." You remember that promise? For whosoever calls. The captain said, "Call on your God so that we may not perish." But Jonah wasn't in a place where he could call on God. Why? Because God had called on him. And he rejected the call and was running away. So Jonah couldn't call on God. What a terrible place for me to ever be in. I pray, Lord, please let me never be in that place. It reminds me of the, and I was telling the early church this, some of you been in here a long time will remember this. But we had a joint service. Oh, my goodness. So Andy, was Andy alive then? I can't remember. So this is maybe 15, maybe 20 years ago. We had a joint service with Shepherd Gate and probably Gary's church over at our old location. And we were praying, and a young man came in, and we were up praying for people. And this boy was crying so hard, you knew something was wrong. And so when it came, Dan Dewis, I think he finally took the mic and said, "Okay, we have a situation. This young man had a friend who just committed suicide." And while that was very difficult to deal with, this made it even worse. The young man was about 16, 17, 18, something like that. For 2 days, the Lord had been speaking to this young man, "Tell your friend about me. Preach the gospel to your friend. Tell him." The young man took him out and he began to say, through sobs, he said, "The Lord been telling me for 2 days to preach. Tell my friend, tell." And then when he committed suicide unexpectedly, so now the weight and the guilt and all of this crashed down on this young man. And he was literally standing in our church, just chest heaving. I mean, this boy was sobbing so bad. So we all went to pray for him. We prayed for him and ministered to him, and he had to make it past that. But he had to learn a lesson, too. He had to learn a lesson. That's a very hard lesson, but he had to learn it. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. Why? Because Jonah, God wanted to save the Ninevites. The word of the Lord came to that young man because the Lord wanted to save somebody. Hello? Does disobedience affect people around you? You better believe it does. Lord, help us that it would never be the case with us. But the Lord was trying to bring that young man's friend to Romans 13. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. God didn't want the men in this boat to perish. God didn't want Jonah to perish. But neither did God want the Ninevites to perish. And so he speaks through this pagan captain to tell the prophet, call on your God. 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish." Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Jonah wanted the Assyrians, the Ninevites, he wanted them to perish. But God didn't want them to perish. God wanted to have mercy upon them. And so what we learn from Jonah is Psalm 145, verse 9 comes to mind. The Lord is good to all. Listen, his tender mercies are over all his works. All his works. And so while I might get upset about the injustices I see in life, and we all do, we have to remember that God is still merciful. He is still merciful. And my prayer is that that would be our heart as we walk this journey that God has set us on. Amen? Let's stand to our feet. Father, we thank you for divine truth. We thank you, Lord, for the lessons that we see you teaching Jonah about your mercies and about your corrections in his life. Father, that he might be a man who accurately not only speaks your word, but represents and carries your heart. Father, we want to be a people that not only can declare your word, but that we, Father, can carry your heart toward those, oh God, we disagree with, toward those, Lord, who might even abuse us, Lord. You said to love those who hate you and to do good to those who despitefully use you. And so, Father, we pray that the heart of Christ, Lord, we know it is ours in Christ, and Lord, that we would identify with it, Lord, and carry the burden of the Lord that you have represented in us by your Holy Spirit. May we be transformed. May we be transformed and renewed into your image, Lord, and in every way bear the fragrance of Christ, Lord, in a dying and a world in opposition to your will. Father, I pray, Lord, that your word would have free course in us all this week. May we live it out in Jesus' precious name. And all God's people said amen, amen, and amen. God bless you real good.